Good morning, everyone. Oh, that was so good. First time. Yay, guys. Let's say good morning to those joining us online. Hello. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We are so excited to be together today. And I'm so excited that it's not freezing this day in March. Praise God for some warmth. I know, shh, today is a good day. So we're going to get started with our service by blessing our children and blessing our service. And then we're going to bring some worship through our music, and then Pastor Jim is going to bring worship for the word.
Good morning. Join me in prayer. Father God, we just ask for your blessing over our children, from the nursery all the way up to the youth, Lord God. Just let their hearts be prepared for what you have for them today. And I pray, Father God, that you will just empower the leaders to speak truth and just speak deeply to their hearts today, Lord God. Just let your spirit rest heavy in that place, Lord. And Father, I just ask for this part of the building, Lord, that again, your spirit rest heavy in here. Let your Holy Spirit just do a mighty work in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're going to get started. However you feel comfortable to worship, please do that. And join us this morning.
I love you.
more time. Your name is like honey. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you.
My Savior God to thee.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou
As I was preparing for the songs this week, I was excited because I said, we're singing about God's greatness, God's goodness. He is so great. He is like honey on our lips. And we're going to sing about all my life you've been faithful, and I'm going to sing how great you are. And I think that that's an amazing place to be in, to be excited about that. And I also thought sometimes we're not in that space. Sometimes there's a lot going on circumstantially where it's really hard for us to sit here and say, God, you're great. Even if we believe it, it's hard to get the words out of our mouth. And so I was brought to Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they were literally about to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Talk about bad circumstances. And yet, they said, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They believed it and still said, even if he does not, we want you to know we will not serve your gods or worship your images. And I thought, maybe some of us are in that even if not stage right now. We know, God, that you're good. We know that you can deliver us. But even if our circumstances look bleak today, we can still stand here and sing that you are good, because we know that's the truth of who you are as a God. For me, sometimes worship puts words to things that I can't say myself. So I encourage you deeply, if that's the space you're in today, where it's really hard for you to say, God, you're good, sing the words to God this morning. Sing the truth over yourself to be reminded that he is good when everything else might not look so good. Because even if not, he is still good. Amen. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my day I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath the goodness of God. God, thank you that all of our lives, you have been faithful and good. Not just the parts that seem good or that seem hopeful, all of our lives. Thank you for giving us this breath this morning that we can then use to praise you and speak of your goodness. Help us to move aside, clear our minds of the things of this world that pull us away from remembering how faithful and good you are, and give us focus. Focus on you, Jesus.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Continue in our worship this morning with our offering, as we believe that's an act of worship. We're going to bring it from the back to the front. Our verse this morning comes out of 1 Corinthians and says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. We thank you for this time of worship. We thank you that you are near to us. Thank you for this offering and these gifts that we can so willingly give to you, because you so willingly give to us. Let us do the work of your kingdom here. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. We indeed have sung of the goodness of our God. Amen. Well, we are so glad that you're here at Vineyard Community Church in person and online. Our service is streaming live on Facebook. Feel free to invite others to share our service here on Facebook and throughout the week on YouTube. I want to welcome back Brent and Teresa. Woohoo! All right. Pastor Jim Dwarning is preaching today in our Lenten series, Preparing for the Cross. Today's message, Sacrifice, Obedience, and Preparation for Christ, from Ezekiel 37 and John 11. Grab your Bible, cell phone, or bulletin to look up today's text. Our Food Resource Center is open this week. FRC needs who? Needs you. Lots of things happening. Monday, food box assembly from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Tuesday, the drive-through pantry, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. to set up and preparation. 4 o'clock to 7:30 p.m., distribution and cleanup. Now I'm going to ask Jackie to come up and make an announcement about small groups.
Good morning, everyone. I chose the day I had to read an announcement to show up to church without glasses, so this will be a group effort to get through this announcement. But we are excited to share a shift that we are making in our small groups, and we are moving to a new rhythm with sessions that last roughly 10 weeks, and then a 2-week break in between each of those sessions. And the reasons we're doing that is, one, we want to make sure our small group leaders have opportunities for breaks. I know a lot of small groups take breaks in the summer so that they can have some additional opportunities for breaks. But also, we hope that it will be a chance for an on-ramp for people who've been thinking about small groups and trying to figure out, well, when should I try one. We hope that you will take advantage of the beginning of the next session as an opportunity to try a small group. And so our spring session is going to begin Monday, April 6th, and go through June 13th. So we're in the midst of the two-week break right now. All right, the small groups are listed on the back of your bulletin, so I encourage you to take a look at that. The men's group meets Mondays here at the church. They are going to be diving into a study on how do we live as Christians. The Richmond Heights group is the second and fourth Wednesday, led by Judy and Tim. They are studying the book of Joshua. The Daytimers, led by, oh, there's Terry. The men's group is led by Terry. Sorry, I didn't give you a shout-out. Hi, Terry. The Daytimers meet Wednesday mornings here at the church, and they'll be studying the book of James. Off-topic will be meets the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30, and they are doing a study also on how do we live as Christians. It's from Right Now Media. Daughters of the King meets first and third Wednesdays, 6:30 here at the church, led by Deb Sadowski. There she is. And I'm sorry, I missed. Sorry, I just told you this is a group effort on the announcement. Off-topic. You can see Kaylee if you need more details about that. The Daughters of the King will be doing a woman's guide to discipling. The Usual Suspects, led by Scott and Brent, is Thursdays at 7, and they are also doing the How Do We Live as Christians study. Doers of the Word group, we meet on Zoom. Suzette and I lead that, and we are going to be diving into the prayer course on Right Now Media. And then Rooted Wings is meets Thursdays at 6:30 and is led by Denise. And we also want to share, we have two new groups starting. So if you're looking for a group that meets in the Far East Side, Madison, Way East, we are excited that Alec and John will be leading a new group. So yes, yes. So if you have interest in that, please see them. Some of the meetings will be on Zoom, but then others will be in person, Way East. So please see them if that's of interest to you. And then Kurt and Jess will be starting a group that meets in Wycliffe. So yes, we're excited about that as well. All right, so lots of opportunities to plug in. The last thing we'll mention is that we'll also be having a class that will run this session on healing and deliverance. So if you wanted to take a deep dive into how to pray for healing and deliverance, you are welcome. We'll do this class small group style, so I'll be hosting it at my home. I live in the Cleveland, in the Huff area near Cleveland Clinic main campus, and it'll meet on Saturdays starting April 11th from 11 to 12:30. And we'll be using a video-based curriculum from our sisters and brothers across the pond in Vineyard, UK, and we'll be walking through that and practicing healing and deliverance. So we hope you consider joining that class. You can see me, or there's a sign-up in the information area. All right. We hope you plug in. If you have any questions, you can see Scott or I, and see the bulletin. Thank you.
It's been a privilege to work with Jackie, overseeing small groups. Clearly, I'm the less advantaged of the two of us. But Jackie is a great organizer and administrator and spiritual leader as well. Look at these coming dates that are coming up leading up to Easter. Spring cleaning, that's leading up to Easter. On this coming Saturday, March 28th at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a time to pitch in, just like we spring clean at our house. We can do that at God's house as well. Sunday, March 29th, right after the service, we need help moving stuff out of the sanctuary for our quarterly carpet cleaning. Holy Week starts on Sunday, March 29th. After church on March 29th, please stay and help move stuff like chairs, furniture, etc. I think we said that twice now, so we must really want your help. Food Resource Center is closed March 30th and 31st, It's the fifth Monday and Tuesday of the month. Tuesday, March 31st, though, while we're not doing food resource, you can come and help put all the stuff back into the sanctuary. Good Friday is April 3rd. Come join our service at 7 p.m. We're having a Tenebrae service this year, which is a service of darkness as we remember the crucifixion. And then Easter is April 5th. Come and join in the blessings of Easter. Today we're also celebrating the baby dedication of Charlotte Lowy. After the service, amen. After the service, everyone is warmly invited to stay and share in this special moment with the family. And now, here's Pastor Jim.
Well, good morning. Just want to have a shout out to some newcomers, Brent and Therese, if you've not met them. I think they're first timers at the church. This year, absolutely. There you go. No, they've been, I was thinking about this morning. Therese is super adventurous. Right? I remember we went down to the flats once for dinner. It was Denise and I and Brent and Teresa, and we started walking around, and next thing you know, Teresa's off on the break wall. And she's just like, I want an expedition here. So we all jumped on the break wall, and then Denise saw a rat, so we jumped off the break wall. It wasn't the kind of expedition we were looking for, but I thought, man, what an amazing way for them to just, I mean, they just went. They just put a trailer on the back of their car, and they went. And they went up and down the coast, and I'm just so excited they got to spend that time. But I'm really excited that they're back, and continue to pray for them as they are really just being encouraged to see what God's got for them, right? With the community, this next stage of life. I know Denise and I, we've transitioned, we've been in this place where we've kind of had to live out and we've walked through what God has been doing in our lives. So we've had this path set before us, and now we're praying for the same thing for Brent and Teresa. So welcome back. We love you guys so much. today, we are finishing up, and I was toiling with that all week. We're finishing up our 5 weeks of Lent, right? The Lenten series. But what I really want to encourage us is to not say we're finished. What I really want is this opportunity to say we've taken these last 5 weeks, and we've pressed in, maybe we've looked inward. We've just gotten to a place where these 5 weeks have maybe started a change in us, or we've started to maybe walk away from some things that weren't the best for us. And I know, like for me, the mindset was always growing up after these 5 weeks, we got to do whatever it is we said we weren't going to do. So we got to watch TV, or we got to eat candy or specific meat or whatever it was that we gave up. But I really want to encourage us today to just not to say, okay, 5 weeks is over. Yeah. But to look at what you went through or what you talked about or what you thought about through these last 5 weeks and just say, Lord, help me to continue. Help to create in me what you've been working on in these 5 weeks, because we're going to head into the celebration of Palm Sunday, and then into really the crucifixion and also the celebration of the resurrection. But again, this time of year, It's just not this next mile marker and then we move on. My prayer and Denise's prayer for all of us is that this time in our journey has been a real change in our lives. So Scott said we're going to be looking at two scriptures today. One is out of Ezekiel and the other is out of John. I've really loved in this Lent series where we've kind of looked at both an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture. And yeah, it's been neat to see really the kind of the pairing, but also this opportunity not to just say old is this and new is this, but how they work and how they blend together. So I was thinking about a lot of what Kaylee said this morning, and what she was talking about was really where my week has been. And this week there's just been, I've been reading and I've had some opportunities to listen to some sermons. And one of the themes for me that just struck me so was, like, sometimes we don't fully grasp the goodness or the greatness of who God is. And I think if you're like me, sometimes it's being in that place where I want to kind of control. I want to have an idea, but be able to put God in the box because I can think of more of God in the box, and that's comfortable to me. But this morning, as I pray for the service, I just want to pray that even coming today, or when you get involved, when you wake up in the morning, or when you're thinking about coming to church, that there's just this overwhelming sense, this overwhelming ideal of God's greatness, that it's unfathomable. I think of Psalm 145 when I was thinking about this. It was verse 3. It says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." His greatness no one can fathom. Lord, help us to be in the place this morning, right here, right now, so that each one of us can be in a place where this greatness, we can start to understand it or be known to us. That your greatness is something that we can embrace and be loved by. That your greatness is something that we can embrace and go and serve. And that your greatness can be something that we desire and that we can enjoy and that we can even sit under this morning. And we know that it's true all the time. And it's in every relationship, and it's in every issue. Amen. Amen. I just keep hearing, "All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. And every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." We could just sit right there, couldn't we? Just sit. Now there's a big part of me that just says, yeah, Jim, let's sit for the next 30 minutes right here. This will be good. But then all week of my preparation, what would I have done, right? So, now I'm super excited. We are going to talk, I've shifted a little bit from the title of what we have put together. I found in some of my study this week that I saw a title that somebody wrote, and I thought, man, that would be great, and it kind of struck an inner chord with me. So the title, I've changed it this morning to "When God Speaks, Dead Things Come Alive." When God speaks, dead things come alive. Now, if you just think about that for a second, we see that there really are many, many stories and many opportunities, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, to think about, and we have examples of that. In the Old Testament, it's probably more related to the God side, where we think about God when we think about the movement of God in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we think about, you know, Jesus' words and Jesus' teachings. But my question is, do you feel that God still speaks today? Yeah. And if you've not thought about that, or if that's not something that's just kind of been triggered in you, it's one of the things I just maybe want you to sit and think about. Does he speak today? And more than that is, does he speak to me today? But there's always something, like, to me, there's always one thing that I want you to glean from all of that when you talk about God speaking, is that there's always power in his words. There's always purpose. And most of all, there's always a plan in what he's saying. Can you believe that? Can you agree with that? That there's power and there's purpose and there's a plan in what God is speaking. Today we're going to look at really two stories, and we're going to touch down a little bit on each. But the Bible, in reference to these, gives us two powerful images when we look at this reality. One is out of Ezekiel, and it's the Valley of Dry Bones. And I don't know if you've read Ezekiel. It's a great book, but if not, we're going to touch down right on this story. And then the other one's out of the New Testament. It's a dead man, and he was sealed in a tomb. And both of these situations looked super hopeless, like there was no way out. Like the bones were so dry, and they weren't full of life at all, and the man was, like, if you could be super dead, he was super dead. But there was one thing that was the same in both of these. And they encountered the same voice of God. When we look at these, when God speaks, dead things come to life. Life begins again. And we look at these two stories, but what I want to encourage as we go along this route is that the reality, when God speaks into our lives, the dead things that we may think are in our lives, the dead things that we may think haven't the ability to be resurrected, that God can speak life into those things. It's not hopeless. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37. So if you want to open your Bibles or look at whatever device you're looking at, when we look at Ezekiel, how many know Ezekiel? Have read Ezekiel? Or is it the first time you're hearing it today, Ezekiel? Right? I often thought if we were going to have another kid, Ezekiel would be a great name, because I think Zeke would be a great name, don't you? Zeke, yeah. I don't know, I didn't even have that in my notes. Thank you, God. Ezekiel was a major prophet. There are major prophets and minor prophets, and if you really understand the prophets, it was like one of these things where you could be in awe. You're like, whoo, you were a prophet. But then you realize prophets had a really hard life. He was an exiled priest, and he was in a place where Israel was just overtaken, and they were just completely captured. And what Ezekiel was trying to do is, not only he was focusing on God's judgment through all of that, but there was also the message of restoration and hope. And one of the things we can never forget is when God is in a place where there's like the harshness, and sometimes of what he has to share with us, the harshness of the words that he has for us, it's never just left right there. What happens is it's there for us to understand, for us to learn, but there's always a place where he restores and he gives hope. And if we look at Jesus in the New Testament, it was the same way. Jesus may, in a real sense, have been been correcting or showing or telling or teaching, but it was never with judgment and walking away. It was in a place where he left to be restored, and he left places for us to have hope. So we're going to look at Scripture. We're going to start in verse 4. And this is called the Valley of the Dry Bones. He said, "Then he, who is God, said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know I am Lord.'" With all of this. Now, this was a vision that was given to Ezekiel. So I don't know, I've had some pretty freaked out dreams, but nothing necessarily like this. But this vision that he gives to Ezekiel, we see that God looks at this valley of dry bones. Now, I don't know. I've seen different movies and I've seen different depictions of just areas where these bones have just are scattered. I don't know about you, but having raised kids at a time where the Lion King was, like we saw 3,498 times, there was the scene in the elephant graveyard. Do you remember that? Come on, Lion King fans, right? Do you remember? Yeah, thank you. I mean, there's got to be... never mind. It worked for me. God looks at the dry bones we have in our lives much differently than we do. Do you understand that? What we look at, what we think in our lives is over, that is finished, that is dead. God doesn't look at it the same way. And there should be hope in that. There should be just this idea of restoration there. And when we think about God's Word, we think that life begins when God's Word is spoken. And in this passage, he tells Ezekiel something unique here. He said, prophesy to the bones. And he said, speak. So prophesy meaning like to share or to speak over. So speak over them. And he says, declare the word of the Lord. And what happens? Bones just, they began to move and they begin to become restored, right? They have tendons put on and skin, and they become actually this army that stands in front of him. And then God says this, commands Ezekiel to call for breath. And if we think of the word breath in Hebrew is ruach. And there's a few meanings, and ruach in Hebrew can mean breath, it could be wind, but it also could mean spirit. Call and command for the spirit to come. Because at one point it was just flesh and bones standing in front of Ezekiel in the vision. And when God says, call for my spirit, do you know of another place maybe in the Bible where there was creation made and all of a sudden God said, I had breathed into life into them? How about we go back to when Adam was created? Said he formed Adam and then what? He breathed life into them. When God breathes, when it's his spirit, life enters their body. And this valley in their vision became an army. And one of the things that just to think about is that when God breathes, it's the power of his voice that when he breathes life, life comes into those dead things or those things in our lives that maybe we have just written off or we've pushed aside. Because I don't know about you, but it's pretty miraculous, even if it was a vision, that this whole valley of bones, and I like, even in Scripture, it super emphasizes the fact that they were not only bones, but they were dry bones, and not the word dry bones, they were dry bones, right? They were dry bones, right? Like there's no, nothing left. Which only goes to show that there's nothing too far gone that God can't breathe life into. And as we shift from Ezekiel, we're gonna shift into John 11. And we're shifting from God speaking to a valley of dry bones. Now in the New Testament in John, we move from a valley to this city called Bethany. And a man named Lazarus is sick. And Jesus delays coming. And we could do many, many sermon series on just this section. But where we're going to touch down again is when we think about when God speaks, dead things come alive. We're going to look at John 11, if you want to turn there. And we're going to start in verse 38. And one of the titles I saw for this section is The Voice That Breaks Graves. So in 38, it says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was the cave with the stone laid across the entrance. And he said, take away the stone. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloths on his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And Lazarus was alive again. Why? Because the power of God's voice commands life. If you're kind of not getting it, that's really the thread, the theme today. When we think about just these areas, maybe these last 5 weeks, you've just thought about things or you've looked at things in your life that said, no, that could never be restored, or I'm way too far gone, or this is way too far past. Well, somebody being dead for 4 days, the word of God comes, God's voice speaks over it, and dead things come to life. Where I want to really focus just for the next moment is on this one part in this section. And this section starts before 42. And he said, then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But watch this. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. And as I've really pressed into that and looked at it, part of that was just for me sitting here going, you know what? This isn't just scripture that we see on the page today. This is actually Jesus stepping out and calling out to us, saying the same thing. For the things that happen around us, for the miracles that we may see every day, or just the fact that somebody is walking this journey with Jesus is so that people can benefit from seeing it and hearing who Jesus is in my life. See, as we're going to see as we move into next week and the week after, this was really the last miracle that Jesus performed outside of Jerusalem. But there's something here that was so real. There was something here that he wasn't hiding anymore. And he said, I did this. He called and he said, I know, God, you hear me all the time. But I want to make sure that the people around me not only hear this, but see this. And not only after they saw it and they heard it, but next, you know, Lazarus comes out of the tomb. I don't know. I just try to think about what my expression would be. I think Jesus could have walked around and just, like, closed every mouth of the people around. Like, because you would just be in awe seeing, or you may not even believe what you were seeing. There was also another thing that just came to truth here, and that was Jesus was truly the Messiah, and he showed it to everybody that was there. He's the Messiah, and a huge number of people, because remember, they were all gathered for Passover. So I don't know, maybe Jerusalem at normal time would have, I don't know, 10,000 people, and during Passover, it maybe grew to 100,000. I think it's Sturgis, right? Sturgis in South Dakota, I think it is. Sturgis, right? I think they have 2,000 people that live in Sturgis, but when the bike week comes, there's like, I don't know, 2.8 million bikes there. I don't know, just a few people show up. But let's not forget, and let's not shift away from this. God's voice brings life, because we just saw Jesus say commands and says, Lazarus, rise, and he rises. Why? Because God's voice gives life, brings life. What in your life today that you think is maybe dead, buried, and behind a stone? That maybe you've given up on? That you need to hear God's voice in that? In these two stories, we see that God's power of his voice, and he speaks life into what we would all consider really to be hopeless situations. So again, I ask, you know, does God speak today? And if he does he speak to us today? You've had a few minutes to think about it. I think about when God speaks, he speaks through Scripture, because it's his word, and it's brought to life by the Holy Spirit. We read it with an open heart. We read it with an open mind, and God uses it to guide us and to correct us and to encourage us in these things, in the real situations that we have going on in our lives. When he talks to us through Scripture, a couple came to mind. One was Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Or in Revelation 3:20, where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's so important. I've read that scripture a lot, and there's this reality when I can think about when, you know, when is the time in your life where you think, okay, finally I heard God? When in the time of life did you get to that point where you maybe stopped? Like for me, I stopped pushing against it, and I just opened my heart to receive it. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, you know, the reality is that God, I think, talks to us all the time. I know God talks to us all the time. We are just in a place where we can hear it. We're not in a place where we slow down enough to kind of see it or, you know, receive it. How many of you think you can hear God's voice? Good thing is I can't see your hands, but I'm sure some people raised it. how many do you think you might maybe could sort of hear God's voice? Right? How many people is it just a brand new experience thinking about hearing God's voice? Right? I can guarantee, well, now I sound like a car salesman. I can pretty much say that everybody who has put an ear towards just idea of who Jesus is has heard God's voice. Now, when we think of this, the things we have to think about is, like, I would love to say, you know, oh my gosh, I just woke up one day and I heard God's voice and I could hear him clearly from that point forward. I can tell you that is not the case for me. And if it's for you, God bless you. But I think God's voice and just listening for it has to be practiced. But there's also another side of that that we kind of shy away from because there's a cost in it. Right? There's this part about hearing from God or thinking you're hearing the voice of God. And then what if God says, oh, here's what I'm saying, and I want you to go tell Paul this. Nope. Because that takes risk. That takes me to think, well, God, are you really talking to me, or is this just me, or is this just for me? So not only do we have to practice this listening and listening for, we then have to be in a place where if God is asking us to share, or God is in a place, or this is a message for us to be able to share with somebody, we have to really, I don't know about you, but you kind of have to build up that risk to go share. And sometimes it's a challenge, as I think sometimes in life we have people that just get right up into us and say, this is God's word and you have to listen, and boom. And I'm open if you feel that direct, that's cool. But at the end of the day, for me, there's this reality of going, okay, God, is this for me? Is this for somebody else? What are you doing here? But it's the practice of pressing into hearing what God's voice is and then risking going ahead and not only understanding, but what is he asking you to do? As what God often does during the weeks that I prepare for a sermon, he uses things during the week to kind of reinforce or help guide my sermon or the stuff I'm going to share. And this week was no different. I got a call out of the blue from somebody who I've known for, as he says, 8 years. And he's a friend, and he's somebody who attends the church. He and his family attend the church mostly online. And he calls, and he said, man, I'm calling because for this last duration of time, I've just felt over and over and over again that God has asked me to talk to you, to call you. And he goes, I don't know why he wants me to call you, but I just, like he said, I'll be in the middle of a business meeting, and where I should be thinking about the business, all of a sudden it says, call Pastor Jim. And I'm like, where did that come from and why? And over and over and over again, for a long time, he just said, finally, I got to the point where I'm like, God, what do I do? And God's like, I told you to call Pastor Jim. So I get a text message from him, and he says, hey, do you want to talk? And I'm like, sure. So I get on the phone with him, and he goes, do you know what this phone call's about? And then I was panicked, because I'm like, no, I don't. And as a pastor, sometimes you don't want to start a conversation like that, because sometimes they don't end very well. But we talked, and we just talked about his journey, and he's got young kids, and he's just becoming on fire for God. And he had all of the same questions literally I had when I started my journey. And he said to me, as we were getting close to finishing the conversation, he asked, how can you tell that you're hearing God's voice? And I said, well, in my life, it's been this trial and error. I said, but for the most part in my life, it's been risking doing it, like risking to the place where I've spent time to try to hear. And when I pray for people, I said, but most of the time, one of the simple things I do, and over time it's happened to me and maybe it's happening to you, where if somebody's name gets put on my heart or I just think of that person over and over again, I don't wait a long time. Mostly because I don't want to keep thinking about this person, right? I wish it was this empathy or this sympathy, but it's like, okay, God, I get it. But I send a text or I'll send an email or I'll just a quick call and be like, you know, hey, I usually, 3 is the number for me. Like, and it's sometimes I'll get it through my devotional in the morning, and if all of a sudden that name pops up and I'm like, wow, that's weird. I haven't thought about that person in a long time. And then by the time my devotion is over, it's like, wow, that's the 3rd or 4th time I've thought about this person. And a text is free. And it costs nothing but about 2 minutes of your time. And I just say, you know what? Hey, hope all is well. Just thinking about you. You know, we're doing good. Something. And I don't know the percentage, but most of the time, there really isn't a crisis on the other side. But when there is, I have an opportunity for somebody else to go, oh, my gosh, they were thinking about me. Not only that, but God was talking to them about me. I also think this week it was Saturday, and I was not super comfortable with just the direction of the message today. And sometimes if you've prepared a sermon or if you've gone through this process, there's always a point for me, and hopefully it's earlier in the week than later, that it all comes together, like this thread happens or this ideal that carries through the message. And I didn't have it. And I was toiling with it Friday night, but I had everything planned. I had everything written out. I had all my PowerPoint done. But I was just uneasy. And my daughter calls me Saturday morning, and she was on her way somewhere, and she was checking in, just saying, hey, how's it going? How you feeling? What's going on? And then we had this conversation. And you know what? That conversation, God used her to give me that thread, to give me that focus I needed. And I basically, in a real sense, rewrote my entire message for today because of that conversation. Now, did I want to? Absolutely not. I wanted to be done and move on, right? But it was important enough, and I felt God was speaking through Kaylee just to be gifting me that thought or those ideas to help bring this message together today. And when we think about that, this is part of, like, we have our 5 points of our mission statement. And one of the mission points of our mission statement is personal growth. And this is part of that personal growth, where we risk, where we try, or where we even maybe for the first time today think about, man, am I going to even take a minute and think of, God, are you going to say something to me today? Because it's amazing. But there's a few things. Here's the encouragement. Man, we are on the go. There is no like movement in the gas pedal anymore. It's just to the floor for most of our lives, right? It's time every moment now and again to just slow down. Can you say slow down? Slow down. Thank you. I will. I appreciate that. But there's also a part of this where we have to be intentional about spending time with God and hearing God. Because I think it'll be the rest of my journey and maybe the rest of our journey that it's going to be trial and error, that we have to work this muscle of listening and trying to hear what God's voice sounds like. If you were with me a few weeks ago, one of the things I shared was many years ago at a CCD class, I heard, but today you will be my priest. And I didn't know that was the voice of God. But I also know that that was something I've never forgotten along the path. So trial and error, we have to work that muscle. You know, I think about now Charlotte, as young as she is, one of the cool parts now is that when I get to hold her and I get to just be with her and I talk to her, she starts to smile. And she starts to coo. And I'm like, I've got another one, yes. No, she's starting to recognize my voice. She's starting to recognize me. You know, with our kids, in the womb even, like they knew our voice before they were born. Why? Because we took time. We talked with them. We hear that. Take time. Be in that place where we really get to that place where we stop. One of the things I do pretty regularly now is sometimes I get in the car and the noise is just so much. I don't want to listen to talk radio. I don't want to listen to music. I don't want to listen to anything. And then I hear, why don't you just shut the radio off? So I reach up and I turn the radio off and I spend whatever time, 10 minutes, a half hour, I just spend that time just pressing in, practicing listening for what God is saying. One of the things that we may push aside or we may not even think is important is some of the things like we'll go to a meeting or we'll have an area pastor's meeting and we'll go into prayer time and next thing you know, this image pops into my head. And it's super weird sometimes. And I'm just like, God, what are you doing? I don't want to think of that. But one of the things we have to be pretty conscientious about is maybe that image or that thing that we think is weird is really a word or really is an image for somebody. We were at a meeting one time and I was just like, Lord, I am not sharing that. And he goes, I'd like you to share that, Jim. And I'm like, I am not sharing that. So I went ahead and I shared it. And all of a sudden, it kind of crushes me, but there was a lady sitting three people down from me. And all of a sudden she just like visibly burst out in tears and she was crying. And I'm like, well, that was a great word, God. Thanks for having me share it. When I had a chance to talk with her, that image, which I thought was super weird, was the exact image that she had in her mind, that she needed, that God was showing her, that he was releasing her from that image. I've had experiences like that over and over and over again where I thought, God, you're just being silly. I don't want to tell somebody that you're going to be okay when they're obviously not okay crying. I had that experience early on in my journey. We were at this big worship conference. It was a pastor's conference. Brent and Teresa invited us many, many years ago. This one was when Vineyard Columbus was just still in one of their original buildings. And this guy was literally wailing and he was snot crying and he was just uncontrollable. And I'm standing there and I really felt in my spirit that said, go over and tell him he's going to be okay. And I'm like, yeah, right. That's a no-brainer. He wasn't okay, so what am I going to do to tell him he's okay? That's like not a stretch, God. That's like anybody could walk up and say that he's going to be okay. And I fought it. I kept fighting it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I don't know, it was 10 minutes later, I was just like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. And again, worship's playing, and just it was a beautiful moment. And I walk over to him, and I put my hand on his back, and I bend down, and I said, man, I just want to tell you that I think God told me to tell you it's going to be okay. And he starts crying harder. And he falls on his face and he's just, unconsolable. So I just kind of tiptoe away and I made sure Denise was on this side so he couldn't see me, you know, when I'm praising God again. And I looked over about 5 minutes later and he was gone. And I'm like, whew. But I was also curious, and it just so happened the next day we were in the lobby getting some coffee, and this gentleman out of nowhere, and I didn't really know what he looked like because he was more on his face than he was standing, and he walked over to me and he said, were you the guy that prayed for me? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm kind of new at this whole Jesus thing, and I thought really God was saying to go over and tell you everything was going to be okay, and then you just broke down more, and I thought I did a really bad thing, and And he's like, let me tell you. And I thought, here we go. And he said, at that moment, all I wanted God to tell me was everything was going to be okay. He said, I was making a decision to sell everything and pack my family up and to move to China for missions. And those are the only words that I wanted God to reveal to me just so I knew things were going to be all right. Practicing hearing God's voice. Getting to those places where we not only practice, but we have this foundational belief that when God speaks, dead things come to life. When God speaks, he's speaking to us because there's a plan, there's a purpose, and there's power in the words that he's sharing with us. Because the truth, if we look at it today, and not only both of these stories, but in our lives today, the same voice that spoke to the bones is the same voice that spoke to the tomb, to spoke to Lazarus, is the same voice that speaks to us today. And the amazing part is that one day we will hear and we will see when Jesus returns, we will hear that voice again. Amen? Because God has the final word. And that word is always the same. And God's word is always what? Life. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to take just a few minutes. And what I just wanted to do is, we're in, a really good place. I just want to just take a minute or a few minutes and just sit here and practice listening for God's voice. And it's amazing because, like, I often am so overwhelmed by our corporate gathering because God many years ago shows me that, you know, that today is the only day that this is ever going to happen. Not gathering corporately, but that each person in this moment is going to be here. So there's the individual side of hearing God's voice, and then there's the side that we listen for God for just what he's going to say to the body. So as we practice, as we use this voice muscle, meaning as we use our listening muscle, I'm just going to ask, let's take some time. And if anybody has the courage, wants to risk, or just feels like, hey, you know what? I saw a picture of a bumblebee. Does that mean anything to anybody? Or whatever. But let's just take a minute here. And if you've never done it, hey, it's a good example. It's a good place. Let's just take a minute. Let's settle, slow down, and listen and see if anything God wants to reveal right here, right now. if you're anything like me when we got to that point where we just like wanted to stop and slow down. How many people thought of anything else but listening for the voice of God? Anybody? Lunch, maybe? When I tend to try to discipline myself to practice, I find myself always thinking about everything I should be doing at that moment. Go ahead, Sandy. Oh, wait, here. I got this. Look at this technology. Yes. There you go.
Yesterday morning, I had like a quick vision, and all I can see was like I was in this room. There was like a bassinet, and seemed like it was like a drape or a veil over, and then it kind of opened up, and I saw what was like a image of a baby that just radiated light, and that's all I can remember.
Awesome. Anybody else? You don't have to necessarily come forward to share, but anybody get any image or a word or anything? And I know it was only a few minutes, but... I'm sorry? Oh, hey, Jude. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, my encouragement, and again, I don't do it really well, but I guess my encouragement today is that you try. One of the best ways is we have a prayer ministry or a ministry at the end where we pray for people, right? So you want to be put on the spot, per se? Have somebody walk up and say, hey, would you pray for me? You're like, yes, I'm a mighty prayer. God gave me the prayer warrior. And I'm like, sure, I'll pray. And then they hit you with, oh, you know what? Just ask God. He can tell you. Oh, okay, great. Or they do share something with you, and it's like, okay, God, what are you going to do? But I make slightly light of it, but it's also a place for me to get to that place where I'm like, Lord, I have to depend on you. We do a 5-step prayer model class that we train people to do, because part of that is in this opportunity when we pray for people, we just don't want to have our words be shared. We want is his words. And God uses, like in me, he uses words and he uses images. And there's times, like it's probably way less than 50%, but I'll pray for people and all of a sudden something will pop into my mind and I've just become used to sharing it and be like, oh, does this word mean anything to you? And they'll be like, nope. I'm like, oh, I didn't hear. Or that was for somebody else. And then sometimes I'm thinking, no, I don't want to share that. And all of a sudden, I'll go ahead. And there was a There was one time this person had just, they were bent, kind of bent over, their back was really sore. It was all kinds of physical ailments. And I'm like, I hear you. I know what you're going through. And I prayed, and as I got done praying, I felt like it had nothing to do physically with them. I felt that it was relational. And just out of like a risk, I just asked them, I said, do you have something going on relationally with you? Like something happening, like a husband or family or whatever? And they said, yeah, their son just abruptly left one day and they were estranged and it was really a bad thing. And I said, well, have you talked to him? They said, no. So we prayed and prayed for a kind of restoration in that relationship. And a couple weeks later, the same person came and they were not bent over. They were standing kind of straight up. And I said, so how's it going? They go, well, you know, when I left church that day, my son called me. And he called and he said, hey, you know, I'm sorry. And then she got to say that she was sorry. So we don't know, but we get to be part of, like John Wimber always said, everybody gets to play. We get to be in this place where we get to play, right? So let's just pray. I thank you for indulging me just in taking some time to just practice listening for God's voice. So now I just pray. I say, Holy Spirit, come and reveal areas now in our lives that we feel that may be missing, distant, or even dead, hopeless. I just pray that today that all of us would be able to hear your voice and how you speak to each one of us and learn that voice in all of not only those areas, but in every area of our life. It's so important. It's part of just this, I know it's one of the greatest, not only pleasures, but it's the most intimate times that I get to spend with you, Lord, is when I feel I can hear you speaking or I can hear your voice or feel or be connected that way with you. I pray that for each and every person here. That even today or this week, that we practice taking a minute or 10 or whatever it is to slow down enough and to just open ourselves to just practicing listening for your voice. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have our time of prayer and ministry, so if you want to come